In this video, my brothers and sisters, we are going to talk about doing the will of God. The most important thing you can do in your life is do the will of God. The essence of holiness is union with God. And the best way to be united to God is to do His will. I have a good friend and he always tells me that the safest place to be is in the will of God. It's hard to do God's will for a couple of reasons. One, partially we don't know God's will because we don't ask Him. We'll talk about that in a moment. Second, when we do have a sense of God's will, a lot of times there's a hesitancy, there's a reluctance. And I was praying about why in my own life, do I have this hesitancy? Why is there this reluctance? The times that I don't know God's will and God wants me to do His will, why don't I know His will? And so in prayer, I felt like God was saying, for me personally, and I think this applies for a lot of people, we genuinely don't trust God. We lack confidence in God that He has our best interests in mind. Why would I say this has to do with we don't even ask God? So sometimes we think we're asking God's will and we never actually genuinely, truly want to know what He wants us to do in a particular given situation or in a particular moment because genuinely we don't want to do anything else than what we have in mind. And we don't have this confidence that what He has in mind is to benefit us, is for some good in our lives. And then we don't do it and we're reluctant to do it because we think our way is better. We have to trust that God's way is the best way. Let me give you a quick example. So for Lent, I felt like the Virgin Mary wanted me to pray the Seven Sorrows Rosary. If you're not familiar with it, it's seven sets of seven Hail Marys where you're meditating on each one of her sorrows. I felt like she was saying, Gabriel, you love me, you want to have a greater devotion to me, you want to know the inner workings of my heart, meditate upon the swords that stabbed my heart. And I was reluctant to do this, partially because I pray, I have my set prayers that I have throughout the day, and I pray a rosary with my family before we go to bed. So she wanted me to pray this literally right before I got into bed. So it'd be like 8:30, putting my kids to bed. Shortly thereafter, I get ready for bed. And then to get on my knees and do another sort of rosary is just naturally difficult at the time. It was difficult. So I did it, and I did it reluctantly. I did it. I didn't do it with the full, like, you know, I'm doing this because you want this and you want what's best for me. Anyway, so a couple of weeks go by, and my son asks to borrow my Seven Sorrows Rosary when we're in the Adoration Chapel. And I say, yeah, of course, totally. And the rosary that I have has, like, the pictures on it, so it helps you to meditate more. I'll put links if you're interested in where I got it. I think I got it from an Etsy store. And I never asked for it back. And then I thought, oh, well, he has it. I won't pray the Seven Sorrows Rosary tonight. And then when I did ask him for it the next day, he said, oh, I don't know where I put it. And I thought, oh, must be God's will that I don't pray the Seven Sorrows Rosary. And so it was an entire week that went by without me praying my nightly Seven Sorrows Rosary for Lent. I was doing all my other normal devotions that I had already had used to in my schedule. And I noticed during this week, I didn't put the two together that it was because I wasn't doing my Seven Sorrows. I just noticed this particular week, totally unrelated to the Seven Sorrows, I was having a lot more difficulty waking up in the morning. Instead of getting up at 5, which I need to do, I'd be like very sluggish in getting out of bed. I'd still get out of bed, but I'd lay in bed and pray my rosary instead of praying it on my knees like I had the habit of doing. And I would just waste most of the morning. And things that I would normally get done in the morning, I wasn't able to accomplish. And I'll just give you a quick example. So I'd normally get up and answer emails, etc. Like especially I had a very important email. And anytime I'd type in the person's name who I was gonna email, my computer would crash. And I was like, what's going on with my mail client? I type in this person's name. It is God's will that I email them. The whole thing would just stop working. And so I was in the Adoration Chapel the other night, last night actually. And I said, Lord, what's going on? Why am I having difficulty doing your will? Why does it feel like I can't do the things that you want me to do? And then all of a sudden, it was like in a big rush. One, you're not genuinely asking me from the depths of your heart what I want. You secretly want what you want. And I said, okay, true, as usual. You're always right at convicting me. And then immediately, we're in the Adoration Chapel. My son comes up to me and hands me this. And I say, oh, and I knew it. I knew it in that instant. And I prayed, I said, Mary, you really want me to pray this, don't you? And she said, yes, absolutely. And in an instant, this is one way that you can know God's will, because sometimes God will put his will in your mind in a moment of clarity, and it like not only touches your heart, but all of a sudden there's like a sense of understanding in your brain. And I had this great understanding. I fail in the morning, or I've been failing in the morning because I failed the night before. And so that night, last night, I got on my knees and I did my Seven Sorrows rosary in front of this image of Our Lady Guadalupe that I have. And I meditated upon her heart, and I felt like Mary was saying to me, this is kind of, you know, this is personal, I guess. I felt like she was saying, you love me, but you don't really love me. You love me because what I do for you, and because I make your life better, and I make it easier, and I make it sweeter. But you have to meditate upon the depths of my heart. And I said, well, then why am I reluctant? And she said, because you really don't believe that I have your best interests at heart. If I'm asking you to pray this prayer in this case, or if I'm asking you to go and help so-and-so in whatever case that might be, if I'm asking you to take on a particular work, it isn't because I want to burden you. It is because I want to help you and you actually need it. So last night I prayed with all my heart that I could the Seven Sorrows Rosary. I went to bed on time. I woke up right on time. I had no problem getting out of bed, got on my knees and did my rosary just like I should have been doing the previous week without any hesitation. And in that rosary, this rosary time, I hope you notice that rosary time is also a time of listening. In that rosary, Mary made it clear, you did not have the grace to do my will because you were not doing the prayers that I asked you to previously do. So I did the prayers the night before, asking God for the grace to do his will. Very important. I hope you're getting a lot of insights here. Then I had the grace to get out of bed in the morning. And because I did that, I had the grace to do his next step. St. Alphonsus talks about, in order to do the will of God well, we have to have prayer to give us the grace to say yes. We have to have humility. We have to ask for assistance. After I finished that rosary, I sent all those emails. I got all of this work done. I felt so on top of my schedule, but I had to first stop and ask God genuinely, what do you want of me? And you have to do this as well. God, what do you want of me? Ask him with a blank check. Say, my day is yours, Lord. What do you want of me this day? What do you want of me tomorrow? Genuinely from the depths of your heart. When you do that, then the safest place to be is the will of God. And everything else will fall into place. Why? Because it's God's will to prosper you and to help you to grow. So in good times and in bad, we have to say, Lord, I trust you. Confidence. If you look at the Gospels, every time that Jesus worked a miracle, somebody had confidence that God had the power to do what only God could do. We are not going to get God's favor and God's grace in extraordinary ways if we're lacking confidence. So how can I know God's will? There's a lot of ways to try and know. Yes, obviously the Ten Commandments. God is never going to ask you to do anything that breaks the Ten Commandments. Obviously, God's never going to ask you to do anything that goes against your vocation. So you have to have a well-formed conscience in order for you to listen to your conscience. You can't trust a conscience that's poorly formed. Also, what do we have to do? We have to earnestly ask it. If you're going to earnestly ask the will of God, I encourage you in times of silence, get a pen, get a paper, write down what he's putting in your heart. Why? Because I mentioned we have a natural aversion to do God's will because we have a disordered attachment to our own will. Daily, in times of silence, be open, genuinely ask God, what do you want of me? And write on a piece of paper what he wants of you. Why write it? Because it makes you more likely to look at it, to examine it, makes it more likely that you're gonna look at this objectively. Is this good for me? Is this gonna help me accomplish my vocation? Is this gonna push forward the kingdom of God? If you don't write it and you don't like it and you don't wanna do what he wants you to do because you have a natural aversion, you're more likely to ignore it, put it out of your mind, get distracted with other things. And when you write things, you know, when you have goals, you start to take steps to meet those goals. So write them down. And you're like, well, how do I know if it's God or if it's me? Well, Ten Commandments, vocation, and most importantly, does your conscience agree with it? Does it feel right? Does it not only penetrate the heart, but also the head? So very, very important. Now, I mentioned conscience. What role should our consciences play in discerning God's will? You can't always be before the Blessed Sacrament with a pen and a paper. You're going to have to make choices in the present moment that are going to impact how the rest of your day turns out. In those moments, you have to listen to your conscience. If necessary, speak out loud those tuggings that you feel in your heart. Now, I want to be very clear. This does not involve pushing buttons in yourself. This does not involve hearing voices. Your conscience acts as a tugging on the heart. So for example, let's say you're walking by a trash can and there's trash all over the floor. If you look at it and you really feel like, oh, this is a dump, I should clean this out. Your conscience is tugging on you to pick up that trash and put it in the trash can. If you were to keep walking by, you know you'd feel guilty. It's not that you're hearing a voice from God say, stop, my son, pick up all the trash off the floor and put it neatly in there. So listen to that tugging. Catechism of the Catholic Church says we have a tugging in our heart that calls us to do what is right in the present moment. So if it's necessary for you to get acquainted with that tugging, give that a voice and say, my son, pick up the trash. But you're just giving a voice, if you're going to speak audibly, to this great tugging on your heart. Now, usually the tugging on the heart is strongest in the present moment. So I encourage you to focus on doing God's will in the present moment. And this is the beautiful thing about listening to your conscience. Well, there's a lot of beautiful things. I'll give you two. One, when you're judged, you will be judged based on whether you genuinely followed your well-formed conscience that God gave you, that's tugging on your soul, that God speaks through. You'll be judged, did you follow your conscience? Two, if you're wrong, if you're walking by that trash can and it was really God's will that you ran off because of some other, there's trash on the floor, pick it up. I'm just using this as a bad example. It's not a perfect example. If you're wrong about what you've chosen to do because you genuinely have sought to do God's will, you have to have confidence that God, the creator of the universe, is going to order things that he brings good out of it. Finally, my last little piece of advice when trying to discern God's will in the general activities and the direction of your life is invoke the Virgin Mary. We're going to have a lot more little discussions about the Virgin Mary later, but I want to say this. God has willed that the Virgin Mary be a sweet and secure path to his heart. And he has also willed that when it comes to fulfilling his will, that those who go through his mother will do it better than those who don't. Invoke her name. Invoke her. Whenever I say, God, what is your will? I've trained myself to say, Mary, what is your will? For example, if it's God's will that I bake a cake for Jesus, just bad example, and I say, Mary, what is God's will? She'll say, make a strawberry cake for Jesus and put a little sprinkles on top. Why? Because the Virgin Mary knows what her son loves the most. Invoke her name, and that also helps to protect you against the wickedness and the snares of the devil. Because how horrible would it be that God would lead me astray? I want to know your will, Lord. I'm invoking the Virgin Mary. How could God lead me astray? Of course, she's going to be good out of everything that I do, that I've done, earnestly invoking the holy name of Mary and having her with me by my side. One last little tip is to have a sense of the presence of God. Call upon his presence even when you can't speak with him and you're trying to do his will. Have a sense that the one who's called you to do an action or to take up a task is going to give you every grace and every assistance necessary to actually do his will. Confidence, 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 confidence. You are not alone. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You have God with you. With God, you can take on an army. With God, anything is possible. Let us conclude with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, give us the grace to ask what is your will every single day, and to ask from the bottom of our hearts. Help us to be open for the great plan that you have. Help us to believe that your plan is actually for our good and that that good is going to work to many ends. Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Providence, we depend upon you for every intercession. We depend upon you for protection. We depend upon you for consolation. We need you in every way. Please pray for us now and at the hour of our death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My brothers and sisters, thank you for watching this video. I'm going to say this very often, just get used to saying it. I have three different channels. Why three different channels? Because they provide three different types of content. We have a podcast. If you're the first time you're watching this, we've got a podcast, True Faith TV. I'll put a link in there. The podcast is coming very soon. I know some of you are very hungry for it. This channel, True Faith Talks, this channel is what it would be like if you came into my office and talked to me, or if you came to one of my classes talking about the one true faith. And then we have the Gabi After Hours YouTube channel. That one is dedicated to high quality productions. It was originally called Gabi After Hours because it was after hours of adoration, after hours of prayer, I will make a video. It's also after hours of work. It's also because we're working after hours to get all these projects done. So I encourage you to subscribe to all three because we are doing the best we can to provide you with quality content that will help you get to heaven and live a happier, holy life. God bless you. God love you, and we'll see you very soon.